We thank you for these gifts. We thank you for those who gave and those who wanted to give but were not able to. Lord, we thank you most specially for the 8 years that you've been gifted us with our pastor. Lord, we pray that you will continue to bless him and bless this church. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. Let's give this wonderful, our wonderful, wonderful, wonderful pastor a hand clap of praise. Amen. On this 8th anniversary, I've never been a senior pastor, but I've met many, and I know it's hard to pastor. It's difficult dealing with us. Amen. For 8 days, let alone 8 years. Amen. But we the best congregation, so we won't give our pastor no problems. Amen. Amen. We thank God for everyone that's here. We thank God for these wonderful children. Amen. Give them a hand clap of praise. Amen. Wonderful children. Amen. Did an excellent job to Mrs. Grantham for the violin solo, which is wonderful. Everything that happened on today has just been great. Amen. A great celebratory service. Amen. Great celebration. Amen. To those who got baptized. Amen. Congratulations. That was one of the best things you could have ever done in your life. Is to declare to the world that you are saved. Amen. That you are new in Christ. Amen. So now grab a hold to someone. Grab a hold to a deacon or grab a hold to a member and continue to walk in this walk. We have so many Bible studies that are available for you that you can grow. Amen. And it's so important that you grow. Get involved in at least one ministry. The young man, Jaden, he's already involved. But everyone, get involved. Everyone that got baptized, try to get involved in at least one ministry and at least one Bible study. You got to get connected. Amen? And that's how you will grow. Amen. Amen, amen. Amen. If you don't mind, let us go to our word on today. We're going to get in and get right out the way. Amen. Because we have some refreshments. Amen. We're trying to get to. Amen. The scripture today is going to be coming from Psalms 37, the 23rd and the 24th verse. Psalms 37, 23rd and the 24th verse. I'm going to be reading from the King James Version, King James translation. And it reads as such: "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." Amen. Thus ends the reading of God's word. Let us pray. Father in heaven, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my redeemer, my strength. God, I ask, God, that you slow Patrick down. God, that you use this vessel, God, to be able to preach your word, to encourage these, your members, encourage your pastor, God, who has been called out to lead this flock at this time. We thank you. We appreciate you. Allow your anointing to come that allows preaching to be easy. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take your seats. Take your seats, please. Amen. 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 Psalms 37 and 23 simply says, "The steps of a good man." A good man. Amen. A good man. Our topic for today, as you see in your program, is you can't keep a good man down. You can't keep a good man down. Come on, say it with me. You can't keep a good man down. And we understand that this passage of scripture is written by the psalmist David. And understand, let's go ahead and break the barrier that when it says you cannot, when I say you cannot keep a good man down, and when this scripture says that the steps of a good man, we're talking about mankind. I don't want you to think that today's a men's service, okay? I'm not trying to just talk to the men. This scripture is talking about mankind, which means women as well, amen? So if you don't mind, say you cannot keep a woman, a good woman, or a good man down. Amen. I didn't want you to think I was leaving you out, ladies. Amen. Amen. So understand, it says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That lets us know that steps, when you're talking about steps, you're talking about a journey. You talk about a process. You're talking about moving. And he tells us that the steps of a good man, the steps of a good woman, are ordered by the Lord. Wherever you may find your feet at, wherever you find yourself on this journey of life, it has been ordered by God. That right there should give you comfort to realize that no matter what you're dealing with, even at this moment right now, it is still ordered by God. Amen. Whatever you're dealing with, whatever ailments, whatever it seems like it just happened to fall on you, don't worry. Your steps have been ordered by God. The original translation, which is in the Hebrew, simply says that your steps have been established by Jehovah. Your steps have been established. What does it mean to establish? That means to create something. And we serve a God who's so powerful, so magnificent, that if he began a thing, he can finish a thing. Amen? If he established your walk, if he established what you're going through, believe you me, baby girl, he and baby boy, he is able to keep you where you're at. Amen? Because you cannot keep a good man down. I don't care what you got going on. Don't care what it look like. Don't care what the forecast say. It can say snow and rain. It can say sleet or snow. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Understand, my brothers and sisters, it's not that only our steps are ordered by God. It's not only our steps are ordered by God. Also, our stops have been ordered by God. What do you mean, brother? What are you talking about? Sometimes we find ourselves in situations in life, in our journey, that it seems like we're at a standstill. We seem like we can't go any further. It seems like something has just got us at a standstill. We know that it's the end of the year, and all of a sudden we're really close to our New Year's, and everybody makes New Year's resolutions. Amen. Everybody says, I want to be 3 pounds lighter. I want to go to church more. I want to do that and all of that good stuff. But what happens when you find yourself in November and still have not accomplished what you did last year or have not accomplished what you set out to accomplish? My brothers and sisters, understand, not only are your steps ordained and established by God, but so are your stops established by God. Wherever you find yourself at on today, it has been established by God. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Don't worry about it. Understand, if you are in God, God sees what you're going through. Amen? You may feel stuck in a rut. You can't seem to shake whatever's going on in your life. Your stops have been ordered by God because you can't keep a good man down. Let's look in the Old Testament when Moses was leading the children of Israel out of captivity. They had a good running start. Pharaoh was nowhere to be found. They had a clear run, and all of a sudden, they run into a big stop, which is called the Red Sea. Now, all of a sudden, you got to realize when they got there, if you was there, you would say, well, what is going on? They looked around. They didn't see a bridge. They didn't see a boat. They didn't see any way across. And so, of course, they got stuck, and they started looking to the leader, like, what's going on, Moses? What is going on? And I can imagine in my crazy imagination, all of a sudden they heard the footsteps of the enemies coming behind them. All of a sudden they heard the trampling of the horses and the chariots. All of a sudden they heard the enemies creeping up behind them. My brothers and sisters, what do you do when you feel the enemies creeping up behind you? What do you do when it feels like somebody just kicked in the back door and now it's coming to get you? That thing you thought you got over with, all of a sudden it's creeping back up your back. What did God tell Moses? He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. What does that mean? Stand still and watch God do what he does best. Not only are your steps ordered by the Lord, your stops are ordered by the Lord. We know we want to put our hands on things. We want to work out our own situations. We want to, like I said before, I tell people all the time, too many chefs in the kitchen makes the food salty. If I'm trying to cook and my wife trying to cook and she's trying to put her seasoning in the greens, and here I come with my heavy hand, put my salt in, all of a sudden the greens going to be nasty. But you got to step back and allow the chef to do what he do. And I don't know about you, even though Chef Boyardee is good, but I know a master chef that's able to fix things up to make it just right. You can't keep a good man down. You can't keep a good man down. Stand back and let God be God. Because if you took a quick testimony service and looked back over your life, Pastor, if you look back over the life of your life, of all the times you've been up and been down, and things that may have thought it was going to take you out, you're still here, amen? And you, my brothers and sisters, if you think about it, there are some things that you thought may have taken you up out of here. You thought you may have lost that job and thought that was the end of the world, but no, you cannot keep, you can't keep a good man down. Here we go. We almost done, y'all. Give me about 8 more minutes and I'll be out your hair. Not only are the steps of a good man ordered by God and the stops are ordered by God, but also he orders our stumbles. Sometimes we stumble into things. Sometimes we end up tripping and end up getting, find ourselves in situations that we never thought we would be in. We are falling up and falling and messed up and tripped up and just don't know how to get out. But understand, God is better than the two canes, amen, that you can walk with. God is better than any other walker. God is better than any wheelchair. God sees your stumbles, and he is there. Sometimes we find ourselves in trials that we just don't understand. How did it happen? We may have felt like we've learned the lesson last time. We've got over it last time, and now here we are again dealing with it. We find ourselves in dark valleys. Dark valleys. What are valleys? Valleys are vulnerable situations. Understand, in the valley, there's a mountain, and a mountain in the valley is right between there. A valley is a dark place. A valley, if you was into cowboys and Indians, a valley is where the bad cowboys would hang out and wait to rob the stagecoaches. Sometimes in your life, you feel like you're in a valley, and it feels like you're being surrounded by enemies. You ever been somewhere and could tell somebody looking at you? You can tell somebody watching you, but you just can't see them. That's what a valley situation is. But understand, even in your valley situation, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Yea, though I walk. So that means that your walk, your steps are being ordered by the Lord. Many of us are in dark places in our life. And understand, if you're not in a dark place at one time or another, keep on waking up. You're going to find yourself in one of those places. But the wonderful thing about it is his rod and his staff. They comfort us. Everywhere we go, we have two nunchucks, as I would say. If I was a mutant ninja turtle, I would be a Michelangelo. I got two nunchucks. My rod and thy staff comfort me. So whatever may come your way, understand, you cannot keep a good man down. Your steps are ordered by God. Your stops are ordered by God. Your stumbles are ordered by God. When I thought about this, when I read the scripture, it made me think of back in the day with Bobby Brown in the New Edition. And some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all haven't been saved all your life. Maybe most of it, but not all your life. And he said a song that said, every little step I take. Remember that? Y'all want to dance. I see y'all young people. Amen. That is the same thing with God. Every step you take, he is right there. And then the GMMWA picked up the song where it said, order my steps in your word, dear Lord. Order my mouth in your word, dear Lord. Teach me and guide me every day. Amen. Order your steps in the word. We understand that the word is a lamp unto our feet. So understand that your steps and your stops and your stumbles are all being ordered by God. Steps of a just man are ordered by the Lord when he delights in him. When you allow orders to come down and not to go up, God is delighted. When you allow the orders to come down and not go up, God is pleased. And when he is pleased with you, he gives you the desires of your heart. When you do things God's way, he interferes with every step you take. When you acknowledge him, and this Bible says, acknowledge the Lord in all thy ways, and he shall direct your path. He shall point you in the right direction. He shall lead you into the paths of all truth. When you consult God and let him do the ordering, then he has no choice to do what he said he would do. If you put your trust and your faith in him, he has no choice but to do what he said he would do, because he is not a man that he shall lie. That is what you call delighting in the word, in the Lord, when you allow your trust to be into him. What are you saying, preacher? Am I supposed to be happy in disappointment? Am I supposed to be still delighting in the Lord when I don't get my way? Am I supposed to still delight in the Lord when the repo man just took my car out of the church parking lot and I'm messing up my good shoes to chase him down to get one more week? What am I to do? Am I to give up? No. Understand that you can't keep a good man down. I don't care what is going on in your life. You cannot, you can't keep a good woman of God, a good man of God down. You may seem to be on your way down. You may be seeming, though you may seem to be on your knees, but understand, as a believer of God, being on your knees is the best place you could ever be. Because that's a sign of surrender, and that's a sign of directing yourself back to God. What am I to do when things don't look good? What am I to do when I don't feel like I'm standing up? What am I to do when I feel like I'm always looking up at everybody because it feels like I'm at the bottom of the ocean? But understand, being at the bottom of the ocean or being at the bottom of the pool or being at the bottom of anything, there's nowhere you can go no further down. But what you can do is take that rock bottom that you're standing on and get some momentum and jump back to the top. Understand, my brothers and sisters, you can't keep a good man down. You can't keep a good man down. Your mortgage may be late, but you can't keep a good man down. Your insurance may be past due or maybe lapsed, but you can't keep a good man down, because the Bible says to count it all joy. Count everything joy. Whatever you're dealing with, count it joy. Whatever trials you find yourself in, count it joy. Count it joy. A bad report from the doctor, you've got to count it all joy. Anything you're dealing with, count it all joy. Peter tells us, beloved, think it not strange when concerning fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing is happening, but rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering. When his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceedingly joy. Let's paraphrase that. That says whatever going on in your life, a praise goes right there. Whatever is dealing with in your life, a praise goes right there. Whatever is coming at you when you don't see your way out, a praise goes right there. Because when you suffer with the Lord, good God Almighty, you will reign with the Lord. Sometimes it may hurt. Sometimes it may feel bad, but you will reign with God in everything. Give God thanks in debt. Give God thanks in plenty. Give God thanks on the mountaintop. Give God thanks in the valley low. Give God thanks when you don't know what to do. Give God thanks. He is worthy of all of our praise. Understand, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Ordered by the Lord, meaning that he's established it. He has created. He is the master bricklayer. He is the one who gives us the firm foundation. No matter what is going on, count it all joy, because you can't keep a good man down. Understand that whatever you're dealing with, he's already paved it out. We just got to walk it out, amen? He's already decided. He knew the beginning from the ending. He knew whatever you're dealing with. Understand this, that nothing takes God by surprise. Nothing takes, it may take you by surprise. You may have not known that this was going to happen. You may have not known that when you pulled out of the parking lot, this happened or that happened. But nothing takes God by surprise. The 24th verse tells us, I'm feeling all right now. The 24th verse tells us that though he falls, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord grasps his hand and supports him and holds him up. That lets us know that when you in God and you happen to trip up, when you happen to stumble, when you happen to be in a stumble time, he leans his hand to uphold you. Peter, I like Peter. Peter was on the boat. They was on the boat and they thought a ghost coming. And they saw Jesus coming and they said, well, Jesus, if it is you, bid me to come to you. And Jesus said, come. Let's stop right there. A golden nugget is, you see, Peter didn't just get out the boat and start walking. He said, God bid me to come. That means there is power in his word. So if God tells you to do something, that right there is establishment. That right there is your pavement. That right there is the walking ground that you got to step on. So Jesus said, come to me. And Peter began to walk out on the ocean. He walked out on the water. The winds was blowing, but he walked out. And as long as he kept his eyes on God, he was all right. But if you can imagine all there walking on the water, you can see all kind of fish swimming up under. He may have saw a dolphin or two. He may have saw a whale or two. Who knows? But he got distracted. And when he got distracted, he began to sink. One nugget out of that is, brothers and sisters, be careful of distractions. It's dangerous to get distracted. It's dangerous to get distracted. Don't allow nothing or no one to distract you. My brothers and sisters, even though you may be coming, you may have got distracted, but understand, he will uphold you. He will pick you up out of your distraction. So Peter got distracted, and all of a sudden, what did he do? He began to sink, and then what he said, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. There's a time in your life where you can't say nothing more than, Jesus, help me. I know we have these long prayers and we sound all good and educated, but sometimes all you can say is, Jesus, help me. Jesus, I need you. Help me. Baby, you can just get out. Help. Help. Somebody say, help. Help me, help me, help me, help me. So understand that. So Peter fell down and fell in and started sinking in that right hand, which means power that he needed. It was there to help and reach out and pick Peter back up. I don't know who I'm talking to on today, but somebody may feel like the water is right at their chin. Somebody may feel like the water of life is right at their nose. And if one more thing happens, they're going to drown. But let me tell you something, baby. Say, Jesus, help me. No matter where you find yourself at, whether you're in the deep end or the shallow end, say, Jesus, help me. And I guarantee, out of nowhere, you know I like to say, out of nowhere, it's a bird, it's a plane. No good googly goo, it's Jesus Christ, help me. My last point, and I'm getting out your hair. My last point, and I'm getting out your hair. I don't want to wear you long. Jesus, help me. Your steps are ordered by God. Your stops are ordered by God. And your stumbles are ordered by God. Look at your neighbor and say, you can't keep a good man down. But a lady said, you can't keep a good woman down. Don't get distracted. Don't let what's going on in your life infect what God has said to you. Don't let what you see mess up your faith. Don't let what you see on everyday life disturb you. Don't let what you see turn you back. Don't let what you see. I know it don't look good at times, but don't allow what you see to affect what you believe. But as Christians, we believe and then we see. Understand, my brothers and sisters, you can't keep a good man down. Stop allowing it to infect. Infect. You know, what does that mean to infect? That means to get infected. That means an alien agent has gotten in. When your blood is infected, that means something, a bacteria or something has got into the blood flow. Don't allow nothing to infect you. Jesus said, blessed are those who believe, who have not seen and believe. We know the story of Doubting Thomas, how he said, unless I see the nail prints in his hand, I won't believe him. Understand, and Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen but yet believe. Although he falls, God grasps him with his hand and upholdeth him. Understand, my brothers and sisters, we are tossed on every side. We are tossed and driven on the restless seas of times. But understand there, I don't care how many times you watch Baywatch, there is no lifeguard like Jesus Christ. Just when we're about to be overtaken, here he comes to save the day. Not only is he there to save you and order your steps, he is right there with you. He is with you. He doesn't have to come from cross town to save you. You don't have to wait and dial 911 and wait for the response call. He is right there. Though you fall, you can get back up again. Yes, you may have slipped up and did things your way and got over it and get back in. But understand, get over it and get back in line. Allow God to lead your way. Preacher, I've messed up. I've messed up. We've all have messed up. But the Bible tells us, I don't say it. The Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times but rises again. I want to tell you, don't stay down. When you fall in it, get back up. Roll over, dust it off, and get back up. The devil wants you to stay down. He wants you to believe that it's over with. He wants you to believe you've gotten too far out there. He wants you to believe that you're in the deep end by yourself. But the devil is a liar. We serve a God that is always with us. You don't fall from grace. You fall into grace. Try again. Though you fall, his hand is there to support you. You're never too far gone from the love of God that he will not extend his love. You're never too far out that he cannot hear you. And you're never too far that his arms cannot reach you. Understand the writer of this text, David, he had some good days as well as some bad days. He had some mistakes as well as some triumphs. He was a murderer, but he was still considered a man after God's own heart. Isn't it wonderful that God loves us in spite of us? If some of us would really look at ourselves and reflect on ourselves, we may all have some ugly ways. And ugly means you got to love yourself. Amen. But understand that in spite of us, he still loves us. In spite of our mistakes and our shortcomings, he is still there ready to reconcile. David had some good days and some bad days, and he knew it. And so he was able to say, the steps of a good man are ordered by God. And my last point, and I promise I'm running to my seat. What makes a man or a woman good? We've been dancing around the whole a good man and a good woman, but we have not talked about what makes a man good in the Bible stands. What makes a good man, a woman righteous? What is it? What is it? Somebody, what is it that makes him, what is it for me to be able to apply and say you can't keep a good man down? I'm glad you asked me. But what makes a man or woman good in God is when you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior. When you have received him and his righteousness. When you allow his word to lead you and guide you on every step of the way. That's what makes you righteous. Not because you've done something so well, not because you went here and did that, not because you fed the hungry, not because you've been nice to your neighbor, not because you've been on time to church. None of that is what makes you good. It is he that makes you good. It is his righteousness, it is his salvation, his cleansing blood is what makes you good. And understand, when you realize that you are a good man, when you realize you are a good woman, then you can honestly say that a good man knows one when he sees one. A good woman knows one when she sees one. Something about it, you can be able to look through and see if somebody is good or not. See, understand, we're here celebrating our pastor's anniversary. And understand Dr. Harvey's accomplished many things in his professional life and his personal life. He has many degrees and has been privileged to preach and sing all over the nation. If you look at his pictures, he's had hundreds of pictures with great people. With great people in all of his years of pastoring, over 31 years of pastoring, he has known and met many people. But you see, Pastor Harvey has not attributed any of that to all of the people he has met. He hasn't attributed any of that to the caravans or Miss Inez Andrews, his godmother. He does not attribute any of his success, any of that, any of his stability to that. What does he attribute it to? A good man knows one when he sees one. See, this good man met another good man over 40 years ago. And that good man that he met, me and you have met him before. And man, maybe you haven't, but if you don't know who I'm talking about, I don't mind taking a minute and introducing who I'm talking about. Understand, this good man that he has met was met. He was born over 2,000 years ago. He was born in a lonely manger. There was no room in the inn for him. And so he came in and they wrapped him in swaddling clothes. They wrapped him on up nice and tight. And when he came to the earth, he came with enemies looking for him. He came with people coming out to kill him. I don't know who I'm talking to. Somebody wants to take you out already. But if you continue to hold on, he will hold you up. Because you can't keep a good man down. This man I'm talking about, was born in a lonely manger. He was born in a dysfunctional house. His mom and daddy wasn't even married. And some of us come from some dysfunctional families. But it's all right. Because it doesn't matter how you came in. And it doesn't matter how you start. It just matters how you finish it. This young man was born. And he walked the earth. He walked through the cities and the streets. And he went healing those that are sick. He went opening the blinded eyes. He went allowing those who were mute to talk. Who are you talking about? This man. His name is Jesus. He was given the name Jesus. That is above every other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. Jesus. I understand. He is a good man that cannot be kept down. They tried him in an unjust court. They nailed him to a cross. They nailed his hands, but that wasn't good enough. They nailed his feet. That wasn't good enough. They put a crown of thorns on his head. but that wasn't good enough. Understand, they didn't realize. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. No matter what you're going through, keep lifting them up. No matter where you find yourself at, keep lifting them up. No matter what's going on, keep lifting them up. He died on a Friday. He was dead all Friday evening. He was dead Saturday. Peter tells us when he died, he went down to hell and reclaimed some souls. He kicked the door in and said, open up this door. Let me get out of here. What is needed? Sunday morning, Sunday morning, there was a rumbling and a tumbling. There was a shaking and a quaking. Something was going on. An angel came down and rolled the rock away. They moved the rock that was trying to hold the rock. Yes, they did. They looked in there and they didn't see anything. They didn't see anything but a folded napkin. Understand, what is a folded napkin? A king, when he's sitting at the table, when he's done eating, he crumbles it up. But when he folds it, he means I'm not done yet. He said, I'm not done yet. Brothers and sisters, when you get home, fold your napkin, because you can't keep a good man down. I don't care what they say. He's not done yet. He's not over. It's just the beginning. You cannot keep a good man down. What's going on in your life, he is there. No matter how far you got down, he is there. Sometimes they beat you upside the head, but if you can get down on your knees and they say, Lord, I need your help. Lord, they're beating up on me. Lord, I can't hide my, I gotta hide my face. I'm embarrassed, Lord. But if you keep on, he'll pull you back out. He'll put you higher than you've ever been. Can't nobody do you like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Nobody. Does he come see about you? Lord, I need your help. You can't keep a good man down. I'm connected to the source. Yes. You can't keep a good man down. Just like that. Just like that. Plain. When you leave here, you can't keep a good man. You can't. You can't. I don't know if it's proper English, but guess what, boo? You can't. Amen? Doors of the church are open. Maybe someone here want to know, hey, how do I become that good man? How do I become that good woman? It starts with coming down and submitting yourself to him. It starts with you putting your hand in his hand. It starts with you realizing that, you know what? I can't do this by myself. I've tried it over and over again. And every time I try it, I mess it up. I mess it up. I make it even worse than what it was. The woman who had the issue of blood, she'd been trying for 12 long years. And what did it say? It just got worse and worse. But she heard about a man. Today you heard about a man. I gave you an introduction about a man. We celebrating a man that knows a good man. That what makes this good man good is Jesus Christ. I offer to you, I submit to you, come try him. Come to Jesus. He will make your day better. It's good to know that you have someone who is always there to care for you, who cares about you, who loves you. He wants you to try him. He wants you to give him a chance. If you've never given him a chance before, I ask you to give him a chance. One chance. Give it a chance. It'll be the best thing. It's not like the lotto. You're not gambling to lose anything. When you come to Christ, you are all winning. It's all a win-win. Read Revelation. It's already done. You're, amen? So come to Christ. Try him today. Try him. Try him. Give him a chance to be your Lord and Savior. That's all he wants. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. He started off this transaction by giving you him, son. Before you even was thought of, we were all born enemies of God. But even when you were enemy, he died for you. He gave you his life. And he wants to give you life more abundantly. Try him. Try him. If you have not tried him, try him. Try him. He's ready. He's there. He wants to be there. Come. We're going to give you a few more minutes. I know service has been long, but this is the most important part. He's knocking at your door. He's touching to you. That's him talking to you and saying, come. For he says, no man comes unless I draw him. So that tug you're feeling is not me talking, but it's the Holy Spirit pulling you, telling you to come on. It's not about this church. It's about God. That's what it's about. This just happened to be one of the best churches to come to God in. But come to Jesus. We offer Christ unto you. He's free. And you get all of the benefits. Will there be one? It will give you brand new life. And life more abundantly. So...
This is a good time to give your life to Jesus. This is a good time to say, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. Thou withdraw thyself from me, whither shall I go? If you're here today and you don't have a church, don't have a church home, you're not happy, the Lord has said to you today that this is the place that he wants you to be. If you're here today, it doesn't matter what you've been through. You know why? Can't keep a good man down. It doesn't matter how hard it's been for you. You can't keep a good woman down. Somebody in here, the devil thought he had his foot on your neck. Thought he had you right where he wanted you. But look what God has done. He's raised you up again. Somebody say again. He's picked you up again. He set your feet on solid ground again. And if you're here today and the Holy Spirit is talking to you, I wouldn't walk out of this door without giving one of these men who stand here waiting on you to come today. I wouldn't walk out without giving them my hand. But more than giving these men my hand today, I would give God my heart. Because I believe if somebody in here can say he's been good to you. I believe if somebody in here can say he's been good to you. Oh, I believe if somebody in here who can say he's been good to me. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Thank you so much. Amen. Give our youth pastor and God a great hand of praise for a blessed, 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 blessed message, wonderfully delivered. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm so thankful that our youth pastor, amen. Did he bring it on? Seldom do I get to hear our associates preach because they always fill in for me when I'm gone. And today was a blessed privilege for me to be able to be here and see and hear. And what a blessing it was to hear, to see. Amen. We're going on now. I want to say thank you for 8 years. Amen. Thank you for 8 years. Yeah, thank you. I want to say thank you to all of the folks who've been so kind to me during the course of this year. Y'all may not believe it, but I'm going to tell you this. After April 10th, this has been the best year that I've had in my whole time of being at Mount Olivet. Amen. Do y'all hear me? Yeah. This has been my best year. And I really believe what God is saying, the best is yet to come. Amen. We've been through a lot together. We've been through a lot together. And I believe God has made the church stronger. And I know he has made me stronger. And I remember when we were coming into installation Sunday, and the Lord had me to say to this congregation, if we made it through 2015, we could make it through anything. And this year has just been a wonderful year. It has not been a year of warfare. It has not been a year of toiling. It's only been a year of perseverance. This has been a year of perseverance. This has been a year of seeing it through. This has been a year of staying the course. Amen. And I just want to say more than say thank me as the pastor. I want to say thank you as the members of this church, because you had to persevere with me. You had to go through. You had to see it through. You had to get me through some stuff. Just like I've gotten you through some stuff, you had to get me through. And I want to say I thank you so much for seeing it through and helping me through some stuff. God bless all of you. And when I look out at our congregation now and I see people are coming back to church, I see people are joining our church, I mean, back baptizing again. This ain't all. We got more to baptize. Amen. And so I'm just thankful to God for all that he's doing, and I continue to encourage you. Really, the celebration belongs to God by going to Bible studies, getting Bible studies. That's how you bless the name of the Lord, and that's how you really make God happy. Get in the Bible class so that you can't keep a good man down and you can't keep a good woman down. Connect yourself to the church. Connect yourself to a Bible study, to one of our small group classes, so that you can stay connected to God. Amen. Because at the end of the day, we're going to need the Lord. And I remember Miss Ingram saying this during the time of Brother Clarence passing. She said, I don't know how people make it without a church home. I don't know how people make it without a church family. And sometimes I wonder, how do people make it without a church family? It does get hard. It gets tough. But how do people make it without a church family? So I want to say thank you. I mean, over the last few weeks that I'm gone, when I tell you this, I was running every morning, losing weight. But you all have had me at just about every restaurant in town. Next Door, Hedges, Black and Blue, Bonefish, Cheesecake Factory, Longhorn, Shorthorn, Red Lobster, Uncle Moe's, Texas Round House, Texas Day Brazil. I've been everywhere because of you. I've been everywhere. I got what them things are, those cards. I got them gift cards to everywhere because of you. And I just want to say thank you. And no, don't ever feel bad giving me a gift card to Uncle Moe's. Somebody said, I really feel bad giving you this card to Uncle Moe's, but I didn't have time to, you know, go out to some fine restaurant. You can always get me